My guest is David Payne. He's both staff economist and reporter for the Kiplinger Letter. He was a senior principal economist at IHS Global Insight and an economist in the chief economist's office of the U.S. Department of Commerce. He's a certified business economist. And I'll tell you why I'm telling you his complete bio, because he's joining me today because I've asked him to talk to us and to help us understand this idea about what's going on with the tariffs. Now, don't change the dial. Tariffs are going to affect us all, and we need to know how and how this is all going to shake up. So, David, thanks for joining us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, tariffs sound pretty abstract, but they're not, right? They're going to pretty much touch every American, especially, you know, with this idea that now President Trump has signed recently to put tariffs on steel and aluminum. Take us through that a little bit.
That's right. President Trump has been concerned about the impacts of imports on American industry. And so he's put tariffs on foreign steel, foreign aluminum, Canadian lumber, Canadian newsprint, and on washing machines and solar panels.
Mm-hmm. How does this differ from the kind of tariffs that we've had in the past, because tariffs are nothing new?
That's correct. Generally, we have avoided tariffs. The last time we have had a significant tariff program was in 2002 and 2003, when President Bush put tariffs on steel as well. And that has had an impact on, or had at that time an impact on users of steel, although it did prevent the decline of steel jobs for short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting outcome. So there's two players here. There's the producers of steel, which I guess would benefit, and then the users of steel, which are going to experience higher costs. So to what degree are the producers of steel going to benefit with regards to jobs and higher profits?
Yes, producers of steel, they have said that they will benefit. They've already started putting up some plants that have been closed. I believe U.S. Steel opened up a previously closed plant and hired 500 employees. There's an aluminum producer that in the U.S. that has expanded a plant, hiring 300 employees. So overall, I expect that the steel and aluminum industry in the U.S. will probably add about 10,000 employees because of the tariffs. And also U.S. lumber mills will probably hire about another 1,000 employees because of the Canadian lumber tariffs.
So about 11,000 all told. With regards to steel and aluminum, where are these plants mostly located?
Mostly in the Midwest, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana. So that's the primary areas that will benefit.
Okay. So let's take a look at the other side of the coin. The users, that would be kind of the rest of us, who buy cars and appliances. What do you think the effect of higher steel and aluminum prices are going to be on the consumer?
Well, I think we won't see large effects, but we will see some small effects over a wide range of products. So, for example, the price of cars will probably go up about $200 to $300. The price of houses will rise about $5,000 for new construction. And most of that is lumber, but there's also a steel element to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
The impact on washing machines should be fairly significant, as well as on solar panels. So these are all things that we run across, you know, every day. And we may not notice the fact that the prices are going up on some of these items, but they will affect most of us.
Well, you're an economist. Do you think that the rise in prices will show up in the inflation numbers?
I don't think it will be a bump that people will be able to point to so much, so it's probably going to fly under the radar. But it will have a marginal impact and will provide an extra padding on inflation.
You know, I can see the items that we've talked about. You know, it's pretty obvious there's a direct line between steel and lumber, between those and houses and cars and so on. But what other industries and purchases, let's say, that we're all going to end up making are going to end up costing us more due to the ripple effects of these higher prices?
There are other industries that are also affected that we may not really recognize. For example, You know, plane construction uses a lot of metal, of course. The defense industry uses a lot of metals. A lot of these things, you know, don't show up in the consumer price index, but they will have, you know, a small effect in the economy at large.
You know, President Trump made the point of emphasizing that tariffs would benefit these steelworkers during the ceremony when he was signing, and he said he called a steel and aluminum production the bedrock and backbone industries of this country. Is steel and aluminum production the bedrock and backbone of our country?
Well, steel and aluminum production have had a long history in the United States and helped to jumpstart the American economy. But they're not so much, I'd say, a bedrock anymore, in the sense of our economy has shifted over to importing much of our raw materials and items that we need to produce with, and then using that material to make products for both the American market and as well as exports.
So it seems in my mind that other industries are more important, especially in the technology area.
That's right.
Yeah, how does the technology area compare to in size and importance to the steel and aluminum area?
Well, there's many more people employed in the technology field in the United States today than in basic products. And that's what's happening to the American economy, is that we're shifting to a service economy as well as to a more high technology economy. And that's a comparative advantage of the United States, mm-hmm. is that we specialize in high tech and services. And those things are what are primarily driving our economy at this point.
Yeah. So do you think, is this a backwards look at a 1950s, 60s economy and trying to somehow resuscitate something that, you know, really has less impact than it used to, in your opinion?
I think to a certain degree that's true. I'm not saying that, you know, we should ignore anything that any foreign producer does, because in some cases, you know, trade protection is needed.
Okay.
But I think we tend to be a bit short-sighted when we focus purely on basic industry and not on the entire economy. So, for example, it's often the case that tariff protection, while it saves jobs, and I've already talked about, you know, the fact that it will add jobs in steel and aluminum and sawmill industry, it will likely cost more American jobs than it creates. And that happens in three ways. First of all, companies that use the basic materials in the United States for their own production have a greater incentive to source from overseas or to move themselves out of the country entirely. I'm thinking specifically of the metal stampings industry for, you know, that provides or supplies the American auto industry. Also, there's potential retaliation from foreign producers or foreign countries, and they tend to pick products that have political significance in the United States.
Yeah.
So, for example, they might, you know, put tariffs on Florida oranges just because Florida is a political swing state,
mm-hmm.
or Kentucky bourbon because Mitch McConnell is from Kentucky, or Wisconsin cranberries because Paul Ryan is from Wisconsin.
Yeah, once you get politics involved, then it gets very, very messy, and the whole idea and the message can be lost. But you're saying basically that the users who are going to experience these higher costs may move abroad so they can continue to access cheaper materials. Yeah, but if they are then shipping back to the United States, they're going to be subject to tariffs, aren't they?
Not in the form of finished products. So, for example, if you're supplying the auto industry with stampings, for example, there is no tariff on the stampings themselves. There's only a tariff on the basic metal.
Oh, okay. All right. So as you go up the line of production, there are no tariffs. So there's a lot of ways. So in your opinion, the positive effects may be somewhat localized, as you mentioned, the Midwest and other places, but some of the larger unexpected effects, they could affect the whole country possibly more negatively.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. My guest, David Payne, is both staff economist and reporter for the Kiplinger Letter, senior principal economist at IHS Global Insight as well. David, thanks for trying to make this a little bit clearer for us. We really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
To hear this again and listen to the full show, get a full summary of all the vital lessons that we learned here today, don't forget to go to stevepomerantz.com and sign up for our weekly update, where we will send you everything that we've talked about here in audio form, transcript form, and summarized form for your convenience so you can read it on the weekend. Thanks for joining us.